Brother.
This is Alan.
Hey.
You guys have probably seen him before. We've had him on pre-service chat talking about InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, which is who you work for.
It is who I work for.
Who you partner with.
Yep.
So remind us, for those of us who maybe have forgotten or maybe we've missed that pre-service chat, we haven't seen you before, tell us a little bit about what InterVarsity is, what you guys do, what you're all about.
Yeah, so we're a national organization really just helping students figure out what it means to follow Jesus on their university campuses, and we really value helping the students lead the communities and empower them to use their gifts and strengths to witness to their friends. They're kind of like the experts of really what we do.
Totally.
Because they know campus.
Yeah, awesome. That's really cool. So we had you on, I think, back in September, and you were kind of sharing some of the things that you were hoping for this year, but tell us about this past year. What were some highs of ministry, some lows? What went on this year?
Yeah, I think one of the highs for me was just getting to be on campus in person, and for me especially, just getting to hang out with like non-religious and non-Christian students. During COVID, that wasn't really a thing I got to do, so it was some of my favorite times this past year were just hanging out in pubs or going to watch movies with students in really just like organic, spontaneous ways. I think a second high was at the end of the year, we hosted a big celebration for a bunch of graduating students.
Yeah.
So we...
Awesome. Well, welcome to the pre-service chat. I've got my little baby brother with me. This is Alan.
Hey.
You guys have probably seen him before. We've had him on pre-service chat talking about InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, which is who you work for.
It is who I work for.
Who you partner with.
Yep.
So remind us, for those of us who maybe have forgotten or maybe we've missed that pre-service chat, we haven't seen you before, tell us a little bit about what InterVarsity is, what you guys do, what you're all about.
Yeah, so we're a national organization that's really just helping students figure out what it means to follow Jesus on their university campuses. And we really value helping the students lead the communities and empower them to use their gifts and strengths to witness to their friends. They're kind of like the experts of really what we do.
Totally.
Because they know campus.
Yeah. Awesome. That's really cool. So we had you on, I think, back in September, and you were kind of sharing some of the things that you were hoping for this year. But tell us about this past year. What were some highs of ministry, some lows? What went on this year?
Yeah, I think one of the highs for me was just getting to be on campus in person, and for me especially, just getting to hang out with like non-religious and non-Christian students. During COVID, that wasn't really a thing I got to do, so it was some of my favorite times this past year were just hanging out in pubs or going to watch movies with students in really just like organic, spontaneous ways. I think a second high was at the end of the year, we hosted a big celebration for a bunch of graduating students.
Yeah.
So we kind of gave them gifts, let them share about their fears around like graduating, their hopes for graduating. And then we prayed to kind of commission them into the workplace. And that was really special.
Nice.
But that also means that like a bunch of our students are leaving. So it's like a high and a low of like,
it's a bittersweet one.
Yeah, it's a bittersweet one. But yeah, that's kind of been the year for us.
Cool.
Actually kind of starting to gather people at UVic and ask them, okay, what could a witnessing community here look like?
Because I guess you really started at UVic and on the island here in the midst of COVID. And so
yeah,
you've really been able to experience any kind of normal.
Yeah, totally. One of my big things this year, like I just wanted to figure out what could. So it was kind of like, try things and see if they would work.
Totally.
And so there's moments where you would try a thing. We tried to host like weekly prayer meetings, didn't really ever gather people, but we spent really good time in prayer.
Nice.
And then we hosted Bible studies on campus and those were really solid. So, you know, you try things and some things work and some things flop.
That's a great mindset too, because I feel like sometimes it can just be really easy to be frustrated or like really discouraged and be like, oh, why don't they want to do this prayer meeting?
Yeah.
Why don't they want to do this weekly?
Yeah. I think we just have to figure out, okay, what's going to help students be in prayer for their campus? The methods we tried didn't work, so we'll try something else.
Yeah.
Or maybe it just wasn't the season. There's so many options.
Yeah,
but,
totally. Yeah. No, I think that's a great mindset. Sweet. Well, I mean, I guess, like, now the school year is over, so, like, now what? What do you do? You get, like, just a bunch of time off for the summer?
Yeah,
life is easy.
Yeah, I did take some time off, but also this is, we actually have quite a vibrant summer ministry going on. So we started a slow pitch team.
Sweet.
As like a
baseball?
Yeah, baseball. Okay. I don't even really understand it, but my colleague, we aren't. I'm an art, yeah.
Cool.
But it's like God is using it to draw like Christians into outreach, and there's non-Christians who are part of the team, and conversations about God and faith are kind of already popping up, and people who are like in our one summer Bible study come from the Bible study and share about. So there's kind of just this really organic witnessing that's happening through sports. Yeah, who knew?
Yeah.
I know nothing about sports, but I am excited for it. And
sweet.
It's sweet. And then some of my time the last 2 months is I'm support raising. That's often, summer is just a great time for me to connect with partners across the country who support the work here of InterVarsity and student ministry here on the island.
Yeah, because you're not like paid a salary of any kind. You have to raise all of your paychecks. So you're only able to do this ministry because people support you financially.
Yeah, totally. But even in like the support raising, there's really cool things happening. Mm-hmm. So my church, I go to the table downtown, mm-hmm. and we're actually in conversations around them actually paying a part of my salary for 5 hours a week to with them begin a student fellowship at Camosun College in the fall.
Oh, neat.
So kind of as I've been just like support raising, and look, God has already been using that to plant seeds for what like student ministry here in Victoria will look like,
cool.
not just at UVic, but beyond UVic. So
beyond in this whole island.
Yeah, and there's nothing at Camosun currently, like no clubs, no really Christian presence, so we're really excited to see what God's going to do there.
Neat.
And then, yeah, I'm off to camp in a week,
nice.
And I'm going to get to hang out with high school students there. InterVarsity has a camp on Thetis Island called Pioneer Pacific Camp, and I'm going to be for 2 weeks helping with their leaders program, and then for 1 week cabin leading.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know. It's.
Are you young enough to do that? I feel like.
No, I'm going to be like the old millennial. It's funny, the old millennial, but I'll come back and be nice and hip, I guess,
yeah,
for
you'll
September.
Know all
I'll know all the slang and lingo.
Yeah. You'll have learned all of the new freshmen.
Yeah.
Cool stuff.
Yeah. It's like the last time at camp I learned Fortnite. That was a thing for a season. I forget it all now, but like that was anyway.
That's how you keep young.
Yeah.
By hanging around the high school.
Yeah. They teach me.
And that must be a really cool way to kind of make connections with especially graduating high school students who might be heading to UVic or Camosun and might be able to really engage in some of these programs. So.
Totally. Even like there's one of the volunteers at camp who I'm excited, and she's going to Ottawa U where one of the staff was actually a student that I mentored.
Oh, cool.
So when we're kind of partnering together to kind of help the student get connected to the Ottawa U Fellowship. So that's kind of the cool things that we kind of get to do with like camp and campus.
Cool. Well, just before we go, one last thing maybe, and I didn't actually pre-warn you about this. This is just off the top of my head, so it's okay. But what can we be praying for university students, for InterVarsity students? What are some things that we can kind of be praying for students over the summer?
Yeah, that's good. Pray for this like slow pitch team. God seems to be using it, and it's kind of like drawing community and people around it in really cool ways. And I think the big word that we keep using as we think about September is hospitality. So pray that students will kind of catch a vision for practicing hospitality on and off campus at Camosun and UVic as kind of a way to witness and love people on their campuses.
Awesome. Sounds good. Well, it sounds like maybe you don't have your summer off, but it'll be a good time.
Not as much, but I'm glad to take a few more days off in August,
nice.
But yeah.
Well, thanks for coming with us, and we'll see you next time.
Next time, thanks. Oh, 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 oh,
Well, welcome to your announcements. You may be wondering, why are you outside, Kim? And first of all, it's a beautiful day, and it's summer, guys, and so we're going to be doing some summer things. So we've got a few barbecues coming up this summer that you are going to want to plan your vacations around. So first, on July 17th and August 14th, after the services at both of our campuses, we're going to be having barbecues, so you're going to want to check that out. And then right in the middle of those weeks, on the BC Day, long weekend, we're going to be having a combined service here at our Wilkinson Road campus, and then we're going to do another barbecue after that as well. So don't miss out on some fun and fellowship, hang out with other people in our faith community, get to know each other better, and let's have some fun this summer. So we'll see you there. Christina, you got them burgers ready? Well, welcome to your announcements. You may be wondering, why are you outside, Kim?
I think that might actually just be the same one again. There we go. I mean, I sometimes have to hear things like a couple of times for it to register. I heard a joke the other day that there's nothing that will surprise a man more than the second time their wife has told them that they have plans. I know that's pretty true for myself. Awesome. Well, welcome, church. If you're able to, invite you to stand with us this morning as we begin to worship today. Beginning with our call to worship. So as we begin today, we want to acknowledge with gratitude that we are leading worship on the traditional territories of the Wasanish and Lekwungen peoples. I'm reading this call to worship from Psalm 98, verses 1 to 4. Compose a new song and sing to the eternal God because of the unbelievable things he has done. He has won the victory with the skill of his right hand and the strength of his holy arm. God has made it clear that he saves, and he has shown the nations that he does what is right. He has been true to his promises. Fresh in his mind is his unfailing love for all of Israel. Even the ends of the earth have witnessed how our God saves. Raise your voices, make a beautiful noise to the Eternal One, all the earth. Let your joy explode into song and praise. Fill the air with joyful sounds to our great King. Yeah, amen. Let's worship together.
Worship our King. Come, let us bow at his feet, for he has done great things. See what our Savior has done. See how his love overcomes. He has done great things. He has done great things. Chain, oh God, you have done great things. We dance your freedom, awaken the light. Oh Jesus, Savior, your name lifted high. Oh God, you have done great things. You've been faithful. You've been faithful through every storm. Be faithful forevermore. You have done great things. And I know you will do it again. For your promise is yes and amen. You will do great things. God, you do great things. Oh, hear up heaven. You conquered the grave. You free every cap and break every chain. Oh God, you have done great things. We dance your freedom away. conquered the grave. You free every cap and break every chain. Oh God, you have done great things. We dance your feet, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, I sing your name lifted high. Oh God, you have done great things. You have done great. Your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. All the earth, oh, in all the earth. day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence, my light. Thou my wisdom, and thou my true word, I ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, and I thy true Son, thou in me.
Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for this place that we're able to gather and be in your presence, be in each other's presence. God, and I pray, just as we sung that prayer, waking or sleeping, Lord, would your presence be our light? God, that you would just be the lens that we look at the world through. And God, thank you for this life, this breath that you give us. Thank you that we were able to take it and turn it around and just send it back to you as praise and worship. God, we thank you for your presence here with us today. Lord, you are good. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, you can take a seat.
Good morning, everyone. Did you guys enjoy the first few days of summer, the last few days? Yes, me too. But there's a group of people here who are enjoying summer way more than the rest of us, and that is our students who are nearing the end of school or finished their last week, right? You guys finished this week? Yes? Nice. And then on top of that, we have another group of people who are very, very excited that this is the last week of school because it is their final week of school. They are done. So today we just wanted to celebrate, take some time to celebrate our graduates, those who have graduated from grade 12. So we have a few of them with us today. We don't have all of them, but we have three. So grade 12 grads, I don't see you, but you guys can come join me on the stage. They look so happy to be coming up, don't they? Yes, center of attention. Okay, so we have Duncan, and Duncan, you graduated from Claremont, correct? Yes. And Duncan doesn't have plans for this coming year. He's just taking it a day at a time. So if you have suggestions for him, I'm sure he'd be very happy. There we go. Okay. Sarah Bouchard graduated from Belmont Secondary, and she is following in her sister's footsteps and will be traveling the world this coming year. Luckily, she graduated after COVID, so that's actually a possibility for you. And then Amanda graduated from West Shore Community School, and she is also going to be traveling and working this year. So we have had the privilege of being able to watch these kids grow up. I can't call you kids anymore. These youth grow up, and some of the people who have had the greatest influence is their youth leaders. And so I just want to call up a few of our youth leaders to join us. And we just want to take a moment to pray for you guys, because this is a significant step. This is entering into a new season of life. And we trust that God is going to be present with you in that. But I'm just going to ask Scott if he will pray for our grads.
I got to say, I have never seen Duncan look so good. You look amazing, man. I have had the privilege of not only being their youth leader, but I've known all of these students, youth, graduates, since they were really young. And so it's a little touching. But yes, I'll pray for you guys. Let's lay hands on them if they are allowing us and pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, God, we love you so much. We love what you do for us in our day-to-day lives. We love that you just bless us with minute-to-minute humor, minute-to-minute sadness, minute-to-minute joy. Just whatever you bring forth in our lives, it's very important. And it's very touching, and we are grateful for what you do for us, Lord. These three students here, not to mention students that are not here today, Lord, you have blessed them and walked with them and kept them safe and protected them and have been there for them throughout their lives. And now they are walking their next steps into adulthood, into the scariness of what this world offers us as people who are no longer in school, no longer have that kind of comfort and the safety of school to fall back on, Lord. I pray that you protect them and you walk with them wherever their ventures may lead them, that you help them to make the right choices, even the wrong choices, so, you know, they learn, and that you just bless them in their paths. I thank you for the support that their families have given them as they have walked alongside them through this adventure of school. Lord, I also thank you for these youth leaders for doing exactly the same thing and being there, mentoring them and loving them. Lord, as they go out into this world, allow them to make mistakes, allow them to feel pain and heartache, because that's all part of this new life as being an adult, Lord. I just pray that you bless them, you love them, and as always, keep them safe. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Awesome. And it has been great having the kids in here with us, but you guys can head to the back and meet Shyla to head upstairs for your classes. And today we are starting a new sermon series called Crazy Busy. And so this passage from Matthew chapter 11 is quite fitting. I'm going to be reading it from the Message translation. It says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. So with those words of Jesus in our minds, let's pray. Oh God, we long to rest in you, to trust in your goodness, in your care for us, and in your abundant life. But often we don't know how to rest well. And we take on worldly yokes that do not fit right. We seek material goods that we don't really need. And we befriend people not always out of love. We pursue titles and accomplishments for our own renown. We fill our schedules to the brim, leaving only the scraps for meaningful time with you, Lord. And we ask questions of you like the Sadducees did of Jesus, questions that try only to prove our point, not to grow in our understanding of your desires for us. So slow us down, Holy One. Attend to us, Holy One. And show us that you alone are our salvation and our resting place. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. It is good to have you here this morning, whether you're online or in person. If you're visiting with us, we want to say a special welcome to you this morning. And just one quick thing. This summer, we're looking for a part-time secretary to work mornings here at our front office starting in the beginning of July. If you know anyone, if you could talk, or if you're interested, if you could talk to Christina after the service or send us an email at office@sanagebaptist.org, we'd love to be in contact with you. Well, I read this week a poll that showed in the United States coming out of COVID, 75% of people are overwhelmed by stress. 72% are exhausted, and 68% feel defeated. And after I read those numbers, I thought to myself, I wonder if it's much different here in Canada. So let me ask you this morning, how is your soul? How are you? You weary? Tired? Overwhelmed? Joyless? Today we're starting a new series, just a short series, just for the month of July, and it's called Crazy Busy. And let me tell you the backstory, let me tell you the backstory on why we're doing this series. In staff meetings a month or so ago, we were talking as a staff, and staff were saying, you have no idea how hard it is to get volunteers today. One of our staff had to call 15 people to get one person to sub on a Sunday for one Sunday. And the reason, I was going to say the excuse, that wouldn't have been good, right? The reason our staff are hearing over and over again on why people can't volunteer today is we're too busy. And that started me thinking about how busy are we? And are we crazy busy? Are we too busy? Because it does seem that most people today are over busy. They're always rushing, living lives that are overfilled and overbooked, causing people to be overwhelmed. We're like this guy here spinning the plates. We just are trying to keep all these plates in the air and not let any of them fall and break. And we're stressed, and we're tired, and we're overwhelmed from doing it. Or maybe you can relate better to this person, just in this wheel, just running and running and running. And maybe it's because we feel the need to please people. And so we we run ourselves ragged trying just a minute. Okay, we feel the need to please people, and we run ourselves ragged trying to meet other people's expectations, and our whole lives are driven by this need to meet the expectations of others, and so we just run and run and run. Or maybe it's because we feel the pressure to get more and bigger and better, and so we feel the need that we need to work more so we can make more, so we can buy more, realizing as we acquire more, we need to take care of more. And maybe that's why study after study shows us that the most stressed out people on this planet are the people that live in the most affluent countries. Or maybe it's because we plan poorly, and then we end up running around like chickens with our heads cut off. Or maybe it's because we have a severe case of FOMO, the fear of missing out, both for ourselves and our children. Whatever the cause, most people today are simply too busy. And I would suggest they're so busy, in fact, that they don't even take time to consider the cost of the hurry and the busy and the rushing. But there is a cost. First of all, there's a cost to our health. I was reading this past week that over time, being over busy and rushing around and being in a hurry all the time can lead to a number of health concerns. Insomnia, chronic headaches, compromised immune system, fatigue, digestive issues, cardiovascular disease, and a negative change to a person's sex drive. That's not good. Emotionally, it can lead to anxiety, sadness, frustration, anger, loneliness, hopelessness, guilt, just to name a few emotions. It can impact our joy. As Christ followers, our lives are to be marked by joy. And yet, when we're living frantic, frenzied lives, we end up anything but joyful. We end up resentful, impatient, grumpy. It can impact our relationships. I was thinking this last week, that all my worst moments as a husband, as a father, as a pastor, have been when I'm rushing, when I don't have the time. Busyness and hurry hurt relationships. Someone has said this, I want you to think about this. Busyness and love are incompatible. Busyness and love are incompatible. Love takes time. And when we're over busy, we don't have the time. I don't think we reflect enough on the impact, the negative impact, all the busyness and rushing and hurry has on our relationships. And then there's our spirituality. In our day, busyness is the greatest enemy to our spiritual lives. Think about it for a moment. When you get over busy, when you get rushing around, what's the first thing that often goes in your life? It's your time with Jesus. It's that time of solitude. It's the reading the Bible. It's those prayer times. They all get pushed out because you're over busy. It's very hard to have a spiritually vital life when you're rushing around all the time. Michael Ziganelli, who, I got to read this school right, from the Charleston Southern University School of Business, conducted a survey of over 20,000 Christians. Here's what he found. Christians are assimilating into a culture of busyness, hurry, and overload today. And when that happens, God becomes marginalized in a Christ follower's life, which leads to a deteriorating relationship with God, which leads to Christ followers becoming even more vulnerable to adopting the secular values about how to live, which leads to, he found, more conformity to a culture of busyness, hurry, and overload. And then the cycle repeats itself and repeats itself and repeats itself. And at the end of the day, Christ followers in North America just adopt more and more secular values on how to live and become more and more distant to God. Do we wonder why the state of Christianity in North America is the way it is? Michael Ziganelli found out why. The book, The Burnout Society, has this observation of people in Western world. They're too alive to die and too dead to live. They're too alive to die and too dead to live. Maybe, just maybe, there's a better way to live. Like every rabbi of his day, Jesus had two things. Here's the first one. Jesus had a yoke. Not a literal yoke. Jesus was a teacher, not a farmer. But the rabbis of Jesus' day, what they did is they had codified the Mosaic Law into hundreds and hundreds of prohibitions and commandments. And what each rabbi did is each rabbi had their own interpretation of the Mosaic Law. Each rabbi had taken the Mosaic Law and interpreted it for his followers. And what each rabbi did is that when they interpreted the Mosaic Law, they created hundreds, literally hundreds, of prohibitions and commandments that their followers were to live by. And these teachings of a rabbi were called the rabbi's yoke. And a rabbi's yoke was his set of teachings on how you were to live life. So when you followed a certain rabbi, what you did is you took on the rabbi's yoke, which meant as you followed your rabbi, you submitted to their interpretation of the law. You submitted to their prohibitions and commandments, the hundreds of them. And so you were to follow and obey and live by the rules that your rabbi had come up with. Now you can imagine, as rabbis imposed their interpretation of the law on the people who followed them, it was a very, very heavy yoke to bear. It did not bring liberty. Rather, it brought bondage and oppression and guilt, having to follow these hundreds and hundreds of commandments and prohibitions on what you could and couldn't do. It was oppressive. And what made Jesus unique was this. Not that he had a yoke. As I mentioned, all rabbis had a yoke, a set of teaching they expected their followers to live by. What made Jesus unique was this. His yoke was easy. Jesus wanted to free people from the bondage and the oppression and the guilt of the other rabbis' yoke. Jesus desired to give people a yoke, a set of teachings that were freeing and life-giving. And so he said in Matthew 11, 28, and this is in the New International Version of the Bible, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all of you who are under these other rabbis' yokes that are wearing you down, trying to follow all these do's and don'ts. Come to me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke, my set of teachings upon you, and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let me read it in the Message paraphrase, which Christina read for us a few minutes ago. I love the way Eugene Peterson translated these verses. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. How life-giving are those words? Let's look for just a few minutes at Jesus' invitation. Jesus looked out at the people under the burden of the other rabbis' teachings, and he said, come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Jesus invited those who felt overwhelmed, those who were tired and weary and burdened, those who were oppressed, those who felt like life was a joyless grind, who were burned out on religion, to come to him. And he still invites people to do that today. And notice, Jesus was not calling them to a program. Jesus was not calling them to a religion. He was not calling them to follow a certain tradition. He was calling them to himself. And he's still doing that today. Let's carry on. He says, come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Again, a yoke was a rabbi set of teaching on how to live life. And Jesus is saying here, take on my yoke, my set of teachings. They're a new way of living. They will allow you to live freely and lightly. They will allow you to experience rest because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And then Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And then he says this, learn from me. Now, chances are you haven't seen an actual yoke in a while. A yoke is actually a heavy wooden harness that fits over the shoulders of oxen. And the idea is it's used to attach the oxen together neck to neck, and then it's used to attach or hitch the oxen to a plow. And so that together the oxen can plow a field, preparing it to plant a crop. Now, farmers would often take a younger oxen and pair it with an older oxen who had been well trained. And the older ox would show the younger ox how to wear the yoke. In other words, it would teach the younger ox how to plow the field in a slow and steady way that wouldn't bruise the ox or wear it out. The older ox would teach the younger ox how to do its job without getting tired, without getting bruised, without getting worn out. Jesus is our older ox. And he says this to us. He says, learn from me. Isn't that great? Notice what he's saying there. He's not saying, just learn about me. He's saying, learn from me. He's saying to each of us, come alongside me. Walk with me and let me teach you how to live. Let me set the pace for you. Learn from me the unforced rhythms of grace. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. What an amazing invitation. So, first of all, Jesus, like all the other rabbis, had a yoke, a set of teachings. A set of teachings on how to live. But rather than hundreds of commandments and prohibitions that would wear you down, Jesus says, no. My yoke, it's easy. And my burden is light. And then second, Again, like all the other rabbis of the day, Jesus had apprentices. In Jesus' day, young men would approach a rabbi they admired and ask the rabbi if they could become the rabbi's apprentice or the rabbi's pupil. If the rabbi accepted you, you became the rabbi's apprentice and you started following your rabbi. And when you started following your rabbi, you would literally do everything that your rabbi did. You would pray like your rabbi, study like your rabbi, eat like your rabbi, walk like your rabbi, talk like your rabbi, act like your rabbi. You would do everything your rabbi did. You were the rabbi's apprentice. Your primary life pursuit became becoming like your rabbi. Being a rabbi's apprentice, then you can imagine, would be completely life transforming. And everywhere Jesus went, he was constantly offering an invitation. He was saying, come, follow me. In other words, he was saying, come, follow me. Be my apprentice. Take on my yoke. Learn from me how to live life by walking beside me and watching how I do it. That's an incredible invitation. Jesus is inviting us to follow him, to become his disciples, to be his apprentices. Author John Mark Comer has written, put simply, if you follow Jesus, you have three basic goals. Be with Jesus, become like Jesus, do what he would do if he were you. John Mark Comer says, put simply, if you follow Jesus, you have three basic goals. Be with Jesus, become like Jesus, do what he would do if he were you. Now, you may be thinking this morning as you're sitting here, this is all good. Sounds great. Follow Jesus and you'll find rest. You'll live freely and lightly. You'll experience his unforced rhythms of grace. And you're going, that sounds amazing. But you're sitting here or you're watching on the live stream and you're saying, I'm a follower of Jesus and honestly, I'm tired. I'm worn out. And I'm a little burned out on religion. What gives? Dallas Willard, who has passed and gone to be with Jesus, was a well-known theologian and philosopher in the later part of the 20th century. And Dallas Willard wrote this about Matthew 11. The secret of the easy yoke involves living as Jesus lived in the entirety of his life, adopting his overall lifestyle. When we look at Jesus' life in the Gospels, and we look at how he lived, we see Jesus' schedule seemed very full, but he never came across as hurried or rushed. He had a healthy dose of margin in his life. He set boundaries and said no. He definitely wasn't trying to please everyone. Jesus lived a life with very healthy rhythms. He got up early, went out to a quiet place to be with his Father on a regular basis. He practiced Sabbath. He would often enjoy a nice long meal with friends and sometimes with people that weren't that friendly. He practiced simplicity before it was cool to do so. And then Jesus turned around and said to people, follow me. Follow my way of living. Apprentice under me, and I will teach you how to live. If you want to experience the life of Jesus, you have to adopt the lifestyle of Jesus. Let me say that again. If you want to experience the life of Jesus, you have to adopt the lifestyle of Jesus. You have to seek to live the way Jesus lived. You have to take his life as a template of your own. You have to take on his habits and his practices. You have to take his life and his teachings as a model, a pattern for your life. The way to follow Jesus is to adopt his lifestyle. Now, do you want to know the hardest way to follow Jesus? Here's the hardest way to follow Jesus, and it's the way most people try to follow Jesus in North America today. It is, we try to live like everyone else in culture, and then we try to cram following Jesus into that lifestyle. So we try to live like everyone else lives, and then we try to cram following Jesus into that lifestyle. That doesn't work. We need to start from the foundation of adopting Jesus' patterns, Jesus' habits as our lifestyle, and live from there. If we're to do that, we will get much healthier, feel much less stressed, and much less busy because we'll adopt the rhythms of Jesus. We'll take on his life as our template, as our model, as our pattern for our lives. And that is what we're going to look at for the next few weeks in July. How can we do that? How can we take the healthy rhythms of Jesus' life and apply them to our lives in the 21st century? Because his yoke and his burden are light and easy. That's what we're going to look at. Today, I want to leave you with these words once again. And I just want to allow them to marinate in your soul because they're the words from Jesus to us. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. That's the invitation. We're going to explore it over the next few weeks. Let me pray for us. Father, I know in this room that there are people who are experiencing overbusyness, overworking, just living too hard, overwhelmed. Father, they need to take on your yoke. They need to experience your way of living. They need to bring healthy rhythms into their life that will allow them to know that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. So I pray in this coming weeks as we do this, Lord, that you will help us adjust and to walk and to live more like you so that we can be more like you, we can love you, and we can love others better, and we can just be healthier and know your joy. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you're able to, I'll invite you to stand with us as we close in the song.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. You're worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. You're worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you, Jesus. And holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you.
Us into a relationship that is not heavy, that's not burdensome. And so if you are here today and you are carrying burdens, maybe you are just too busy and you want to just offer that to God, the one who invites us to do that. We're going to have some people up here. We invite you to come forward and just ask for prayer. We'd love to pray with you. If you are new with us, one of the best ways that you can get connected is using the Connect card that's in the seat in front of you. We have some offering plates at the back that you can drop those off in. But let me just close with this benediction from Hebrews 13. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Have a wonderful week.